Tom Casper is a master gardener and the past president of the Duluth Garden Flower Society and our host for Tips for Hardy Gardeners Tuesday mornings on Northland Morning. Good morning, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself, Chris?
I'm doing great. It's actually been a beautiful couple of days, perhaps a little too warm for me, but we've had plenty of rain the last couple of weeks, and I keep looking out at our plants in the backyard thinking, no, I don't need to water today. I think maybe tomorrow, and then tomorrow it rains, and sure enough, I don't need to water. And I keep thinking, I hope they're not getting over-rained. I mean, we're not flooding in our backyard. It's not like it was a few years ago when that we had that summer, but plenty of rain, and I sometimes wonder if there's maybe too much water in the ground. Can they get oversaturated just from this kind of rain? For example, I heard this statement made from one of my farmer cousins years ago. You want 2 days of rain, 3 days of sun, 2 days of rain, 3 days of sun all summer long, and things will be perfect. And I don't know if that's true or not. Is that true for gardens as well?
Well, that's pretty close. You know, if you could get a couple days a week of rain, would certainly benefit the garden and also, of course, our water bill for those that trying to take care of plants outside if you feel the need to water. But certainly so far this year, the rains have been very timely. And looking at the averages, we're really just about right on average. So folks who think maybe we've gotten too much rain, we're really not that far off of our average. I think we're within a quarter of an inch or somewhere right in that area. So not too bad, at least for in Duluth. I know if you go north of here or south of here where they've had some of those bigger rain events where multiple inches of rain, they're certainly sitting well above average. But here in the Duluth area, it's not as much that way. So,
well, the soil here in Duluth seems to be, well, at least in in my experience, you go down more than a foot and you're into clay. I can't imagine that water has a lot of places to go. It's just going to sit, or it's got to somehow drain away. Do people in Duluth find that they have to figure out a way to get an oversaturated soil dry some other way? Do they need to raise their gardens? What do they do when there is too much water?
Yeah, that certainly is a challenge. The Duluth clay soils that we really have an abundance here in most of our landscape has the ability, of course, to retain or hold a lot of water and to hold it for a long period of time, which hold it very tightly. So a lot of plants don't have the strength to extract that moisture out of that heavy clay soil. So it can be a challenge depending on what you're planting in it. So a lot of folks have turned to what you mentioned, raised gardens and they could be bordered with things like boulders or ties or timbers or wood or rock or a host of other things that folks are using to elevate that garden to get it above this heavy clay soil that we struggle with in the area as far as gardening goes. And certainly if you're doing that, getting a better soil, getting a good garden blend that's got some peat and some organic matter in it, a little bit of sand and minerals and things like that is definitely a good way to start if you're going to build up a garden to create a better environment for your plants to grow in. So.
Well, and speaking of that, we've certainly got plenty of water, but sometimes they think you just have to water them and that's all they ever need from you, but they do need some other feeding as well. What else goes into that?
That's a good question, and really in our environment, plants need three things. They need water, food, and light. And depending on which one of those is the limiting factor can have significant impact on how our plants thrive. So we've had plenty of water, pretty good sunlight, so the next challenge is making sure that they're fed well. And depending on what the type of plant is, some of them need very little additional food, but others need an abundance of additional food. And certainly any of our plants that we're growing in containers, so hanging baskets or flower pots, things like that, that don't have access to any natural food that might be occurring in the soil around them. So you really want to look at different ways to feed them. And, of course, the big product that's made somebody billions of dollars, Miracle-Gro, has its place. It's not my favorite, but a lot of folks use it, and it does work pretty well for feeding the plants. Gives them most of their macronutrients. But if you're looking for things with micronutrients, you might need to go with something more organic. And certainly adding compost to your soil helps, and some different products. There's an organic line of food for our gardens, Espoma, and it's sold at some of the garden centers in town, but it has special blends of food that help with micro and macronutrients to make sure your plants are fed well and stuff.
So the Venn diagram, though, of food and fertilizer, are they really overlapping or different categories entirely?
They're pretty much the same thing as far as for plants.
Okay. But obviously more options. So there's some organics out there and some other types of nutrients. And you'd mentioned peat earlier, and he's adding some, you know, getting some other stuff into the soil than just the dirt itself.
Yeah, making sure you've got a good blend of soil. So it's not all, let's say, not all WLSSD compost. It's not all peat. It's not all sand. It's a blend of those things that really give us our best results for plants. Mm. It has decent water holding capacity. It has good minerals and food within the soil, and also good drainage. So there is an event coming up that I wanted to mention for folks, and I think it's the 23rd or 24th, somewhere in that area, the Duluth Garden Flower Society that I was involved with for years is having their annual secret garden tour, and it's coming up on the 21st of July, which is just a couple weeks away. Yeah. 21st is a week from this Saturday.
That week and a half from now.
Yeah.
It's a secret garden tour, is that what you said?
Yep, secret garden tour. So the gardens that are on the tour are kept a secret till the day of the tour.
Ah, that was the question. are these gardens people have had? What are they growing in there that they don't want anybody to find, right?
That's right. You're sworn to secrecy.
That's right.
But it's a fun way for people to get out and fellowship with other like-minded folks who are interested in gardening and garden and seeing what people are growing and sneaking around in people's backyards.
No, okay.
People can go to the Duluth Garden Flower Society's website for more information. They can download a form and send it in. And there's a couple different options. You can either self-guide or go by bus. It's a fun way for people to do something garden-related on a Saturday and see people are doing.
And without revealing too much, I mean, is it a variety of different types of gardens, or are they looking for the biggest and the best, the most diverse? Are they looking for small examples? I mean, are they trying to give you a range of ideas, or what sort of gardens do they generally include in this?
Yeah, it's really a wide variety. I know that this year they're focusing on some pollinator-style gardens, so they're featuring some that would be good butterfly habitat, things like that. So there's so much interest in preserving or helping butterflies and bees and things like that. So there's an emphasis in that area, and they're focusing on some gardens that do those kinds of things.
So. Hmm. A friend of mine the other day was saying about collecting some milkweed seeds at the end of the summer and planting them somewhere else in their yard area so that they could try to help foster some monarch butterfly development in the area. Is that something that's easily done, or do you really have to kind of let wild plants do their own thing? Can you actually help cultivate them?
Oh, sure. Yeah, and milkweed is outstanding. It's really the singular most important plant we can put in our garden if we want to attract monarch butterflies specifically, because the larvae feed on the plant material, and then the adults feed on the flowers of them. So it's really attracts butterflies multiple levels, multiple stages of their lives, and really is very important to that. So, you know, a lot of people will plant milkweed. Problem with it is it can be pretty invasive. So if folks don't want it taking over their garden, they do have to offer some diligence to keeping it into certain areas. Now, if they just want a pollinator garden and they want that milkweed to go crazy, they can certainly do that, and it will fill up a garden over the course of a few years. There are other varieties of butterfly weed or milkweed, same family, that folks can look for. There's an annual variety called the blood flower, which is just absolutely stunning, and it does the same thing. It's just an annual. And then there's the Asclepias, which is the butterfly weed, which is also wonderful for attracting butterflies, but it acts as a perennial and not near as invasive as butterfly weed. So So there are some different choices for that as well, and if folks are interested in doing that, which is a good thing.
Excellent. All right, so the Secret Garden Tour is a week and a half from now, and we'll get a link to that up on our website as well for people who are interested in checking that out. So, Tom, thanks so much. We appreciate it this morning.
Sounds good, Chris. We'll talk to you again soon.
Take care. Tom Casper, a master gardener and the past president of the Duluth Garden Flower Society, and our host for Tips for Hardy Gardeners, Tuesday mornings, 103.3 KUMD.